This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the outrage grows at Bernie Sanders' reverse religious test that he displayed last week in the confirmation hearing of Russell Vought. Louisiana Congressman Mike Johnson joins me in just a moment. And tomorrow, Attorney General Jeff Sessions will testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee. Sessions announced in a letter Saturday that the Senate committee would be the, quote, most appropriate forum for questions involving the Russia investigation. Washington Times reporter Andrea Noble tells us what we can expect. Also, while President Obama is gone, the effects of his liberal policies and priorities linger. Elaine Donnelly with the Center for Military Readiness has the details of what's happening at the Pentagon. That and more is coming up here on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, if you want to catch past episodes or programs, or if you miss anything on the way home, it's all archived, TonyPerkins.com. Check that website out, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. Okay, we talked about this last week, but as more and more people find out about it, the outrage is growing. Senator Bernie Sanders, the Democrat from Vermont, put on display last week a disturbing line of questioning during Russell Vought's Senate confirmation hearing for the Office of Budget and Management. Now, this is Office of Management and Budget. I got it backwards. You really have to watch this video to get the full effect of it. But I did play this last week. But for those that may not have heard it, I want you to listen to this and just listen with an open mind. But you have Bernie Sanders, and he's raising questions regarding an article that Russell Vought wrote concerning his alma mater, Wheaton College, about an issue of theological holdings about who is saved and how one is saved. You know, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." He's very exclusionary. Okay, that's the word of God. Well, I want you to listen to what Bernie Sanders has to say in this confirmation hearing that took place last week.
Let me get to this issue that has bothered me and bothered many other people. And that is in the piece that I referred to that you wrote for a publication called Resurgent. You wrote, Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned. Do you believe that that statement is Islamophobic?
Absolutely not, Senator. I'm a Christian, and I believe in a Christian set of principles based on my faith. That post, as I stated in the questionnaire to this committee, was to defend my alma mater, Wheaton College, a Christian school that has a statement of faith that includes the centrality of Jesus Christ for salvation. And
again, I apologize. Forgive me. We just don't have a lot of time. Do you believe that people in the Muslim religion stand condemned? Is that your view?
Again, Senator, I'm a Christian, and I wrote that piece.
Well, what does that say?
The statement of faith of Wheaton
College. I understand that. I don't know how many Muslims there are in America. I really don't know. Probably a couple of million. Are you suggesting that all of those people stand condemned? What about Jews? They stand condemned too?
Senator, I'm a Christian.
I understand you are a Christian, but this country is made up of people who are not just. I understand that Christianity is the majority religion, but there are other people who have different religions in this country and around the world. In your judgment, do you think that people who are not Christians are going to be condemned?
Thank you for probing on that question. As a Christian, I believe that all individuals are made in the image of God and are worthy of dignity and respect regardless of their religious beliefs. I believe that as a Christian, that's how I should treat all individuals.
And do you think your statement that you put into that publication, they do not know God because they've rejected Jesus Christ the Son and they stand condemned, do you think that's respectful of other religions?
Senator, I wrote a post based on being a Christian and attending a Christian school that has a statement of faith that speaks clearly with regard to the centrality of Jesus Christ and salvation?
I would simply say, Mr. Chairman, that this nominee is really not someone who is what this country is supposed to be about. I will vote no.
Well, joining us now is Congressman Mike Johnson. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Louisiana. He serves on the House Judiciary Committee, and he is a constitutional attorney. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Okay. You heard it. I know you've heard it before, but you heard it again. You heard Bernie Sanders. To me, this is outrageous that a hearing of a nominee to take the number two spot, the deputy director for the Office of Management and Budget, ends up to be a theological grilling.
Tony, it is absolutely outrageous, and it bothers me on a number of different levels. I mean, for one thing, you know, my background is in constitutional law, and I was a religious liberty litigator for almost 20 years before I got to Congress. You know, any civics class at any high school in America, I'm sure when they cover the Constitution, they go over Article 6. It's very clearly stated that we don't have religious tests for public office in this country. No office, no public trust under the United States. It can be required, a religious test required to hold that post. And so certainly Bernie knows that. But I think his judgment is being clouded here. The other thing that really bothers me, Tony, is that Bernie's quarrel is not with Mr. Vought, it's with the Bible itself, with the words of Christ himself. It's Orthodox belief. It's basic Christianity, and millions and millions of us around the country believe in these basic tenets of our faith. Does that mean all of us are now disqualified for office? I've got a lot of colleagues here in the House who probably need to know that, Tony.
Well, several things. First, I want to go back just for the benefit of our listeners and give a little context to religious tests. Now, we've heard that's been mentioned a couple times over the last couple of days that there should not be a religious test. Now, some liberal professors have said, well, that only pertains to those who hold elected office, not to appointed positions like this. I would disagree because, as you said, the Constitution says a public trust. That doesn't necessarily have to be elected office. But the history of the religious test. The religious test was the federal government taking a position that they weren't going to interfere with the area of the states where many states had a religious test, which actually required office holders to have an Orthodox Christian view.
That's exactly right. And when we created the Constitution and ratified it, we put this very important principle, enshrined it into our law. And here's why. The appreciation of religion, and that's all religion, religious tolerance, diversity, the free exercise of religion is one of the things that makes us uniquely American. And as the Supreme Court articulated back in the early 80s, these ideas, these traditions are deeply embedded in our history, the history of this country. It's part of who we are. But the problem is today, Tony, that we're not only seeing a rapid deterioration of all civility in our public discourse, all decorum, even here in the Congress. Now we're seeing an outright hostility towards one particular faith. It's the Christian faith in almost every case. And for this to be displayed in the halls of Congress is a real disgrace. And I think the attention that Bernie is getting for this is certainly due.
Now, isn't this of sorts? Isn't this a reverse religious test? I mean, the original religious test prohibited a Orthodox Christian view to be required for one to hold office. Now we actually see what Bernie Sanders is saying, and he's not alone in this, by the way. I think he's just one that's willing to openly articulate it. Is that if you hold an Orthodox view of biblical truth, then you're not qualified for office.
Yeah, right. Well, we've seen this percolating up through the grassroots from these radical leftists for years. You know, you and I have spent big portions of our career warning that this something like this would happen eventually, and here it is in Viv Color. And, you know, the outrage and the really sad thing about all this is that today, you know, especially at this time of increasing polarization, we have all these deep divisions now in the culture and in our politics. This is when we ought to be really raising the level of respect for one another. You know, this idea that we can coexist in harmony. And yet you have someone who was almost the nominee of the Democrat Party president, you know, engaging in this kind of behavior. So much for the free marketplace of ideas. So much for tolerance and respect. that the left always espouses. It does not apply to Bible-believing Christians, apparently, and now we're seeing, you know, the latest evidence of it.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. My guest, Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana. Mike, let's talk about what may be behind this. And I think as we see more brazen evidence of this, i.e., in Sanders' comments in line of questioning here in a committee, again, this guy's not being tapped for a post. It's not like in the Health of Human Services or someplace where moral issues come in. He's actually at the Office of Management Budget. I mean, he's a finance guy. And he launches into this. I think what this shows is that this is where Obama and his policies took us and where the liberals want us to go, is that if you are a Christian, a real Christian, one who follows Jesus Christ, the teachings of the Bible, then there's no place for you in government. I think that is what this message really says.
Well, no place in government, and ultimately no place in the public square at all. And we've seen that trend developing over the last several years. That, you know, they've convinced an entire generation of Americans. I mean, the radical leftists who have been pushing, you know, the separation metaphor for the last 50, 60 years, they've created this religious dichotomy. And you and I have talked about this before, and we lament that it's true that there's somehow a distinction between your public life and your religious belief, right? So that if you want to believe in the Bible and say and believe the words in red in every one of our texts that says, you know, Jesus says of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's Orthodox Christianity. If you want to believe that on Sunday, to people like Bernie Sanders, that may be okay for now, but you keep that in the four walls of the church. Don't even think about bringing that idea out here into the free marketplace of ideas, into the public, heaven forbid, into some sort of public arena or public office, certainly not here in the hallowed halls of the Congress. It's just nonsense. The founders of this country, those who enshrine this protection for the free exercise of religion for everyone, are rolling over in their graves right now. I hope that Bernie will spend some time going back and studying his history and get rid of this new religious test that he's trying to impose on all of us.
Mike, we're almost out of time, but one final question for you, because some people say, yeah, well, this is Bernie Sanders. I mean, he's a loon. He's kind of out there. Look, as you pointed out, he was almost the Democratic nominee. But how serious is this threat, not just from Bernie Sanders, but what he represents and how the left views Orthodox Christianity? How serious is this threat to our freedom today?
Listen, it's very serious. Not only is it blatantly unconstitutional to do what it is Bernie is proposing, but it's dangerous to our entire system of government, to all of our deeply embedded histories in tradition. Because, look, you and I know this well. When religious freedom is taken from a people, their political freedom soon follows. And if we're going to go down this path where we're going to impose a test that no one can believe in the most basic tenets of their theology, if that somehow prohibits you from holding a public post, then we're in deep trouble. That's not the America that you and I value and appreciate and have grown up in, and we're going to turn into something very dark and very dangerous.
All right, Congressman Mike Johnson, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tom. Keep it up.
All right, talk to you soon. All right, folks, when we come back tomorrow, Attorney General Jeff Sessions is before the Senate Intelligence Committee. We'll talk about it next here on Washington Watch.
When you think of hot-button issues, what comes to your mind? For most of America's history, religious liberty was fairly uncontroversial. Not anymore. What happened? I'm Travis Weber, director of the Center for Religious Liberty at Family Research Council. Religious liberty is now a heated issue, right alongside topics like abortion and sexual identity. It's often placed in quote marks in news stories, as if there's more going on than really meets the eye. But what does religious liberty really mean, and why is it so controversial? The public discussion of what was once a tame topic is now a point of sharp division. How did we reach this point? A new FRC brochure entitled Religious Liberty, An Introduction to Our Freedom to Believe, simplifies this complex issue in an easy-to-read format. Discover the true meaning of religious liberty, who is affected by it, why it's being infringed, why you should care, and what you can do about it. You will find answers to these common questions at frc.org/religious liberty.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to be going back to Israel in March, March 8th through the 16th, and we'd love to have you come with us. You know, one of my favorite places to go in Jerusalem is Gordon's Calvary, which is the place where they make the case, a very strong case, was where Jesus was executed. Then we'll also see the Garden Tomb, which is right next door to that, where also a very strong case can be made, was the tomb where Jesus was buried and where he rose from the dead. Well, that's just two of the places we'll see on one day in Jerusalem. We'd love to have you come with us. If you want the information we have available on the tour, go to the website twholyland.com, twholyland.com. For a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. All right. If you caught that previous interview with Mike Johnson, I want to encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and sign the petition that we're sending to Bernie Sanders and dropping with his colleagues on Capitol Hill. So far, 50,000 folks have signed it, calling on Bernie to apologize and making sure that his Senate colleagues do not employ the same type of religious test that he's trying to do. Again, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Please, please sign that. We've got to stop this in its tracks. All right, Attorney General Jeff Sessions is set to testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee tomorrow. Sessions announced in a letter Saturday that the Senate committee would be the most appropriate forum for questions involving the Russia investigation, something we've been hearing a lot about in the media. Well, with us now is Andrea Noble. She's been following the story. She covers the Department of Justice and the law enforcement community for The Washington Times. Andrea, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. What can we expect to hear tomorrow from the Attorney General as he testifies before the Senate Intelligence Committee?
Well, Attorney General Jeff Sessions had said that he wanted to speak in public, have a hearing in public, in order to be able to let the American people hear the truth directly from him. I think a big reason for this, him wanting it to be an open format, is he's going to want to address some of the things that FBI Director James Comey had said last week when he appeared before the same committee. I think there's going to be three kind of main types of questions that he's going to face. Essentially, he's going to be asked about his meetings with Russian officials. He's going to be asked about the degree to which he stuck by his decision to recuse himself from the Russia investigation. And then, of course, he's going to be telling his side of the story in terms of his own interactions with the FBI director before Mr. Comey was fired.
So given that it's not been that long since he was there in the Senate, so these are his colleagues, his former colleagues, do you think his hearing is going to go smoothly? Are they going to show him a little more deference, maybe, because he was a senator?
I mean, I think there's definitely going to be a people will be familiar with him. They'll know, his tendency to, things he's going to want to answer and how he likes to address questions. So, I mean, there's going to be familiarity there. I don't think anyone is going to be, going after him super harshly in terms of that, because he won't be a complete stranger. But there have already been some senators who have kind of, in asking for the hearing to be open, have kind of indicated, you know, that they do want to make sure that they get some specific questions answered, and are not going to want to, you know, have him beat around the bush.
Mm-hmm. Now, there had been some speculation about this meeting being closed, meaning that the public was not going to be able to see or hear what had taken place. Was this an important move by the Attorney General to call for this hearing to be public?
I think so. I think if there, you know, of course, if it had been behind closed doors, you know, there would be probably a lot of leaks about what was said or not addressed in the hearing. So just kind of in the interest of getting it out there in the open and being able, allowing people to hear exactly what he's saying as opposed to, you know, what anonymous sources later want to recall about what he said, I think it was an important step for him to be able to get in front of it and really let people know his stance on a number of these issues.
So, Andrea, we know he's going to be probably addressing Comey's firing, what he knew and the conversations he had leading up to that, the Russia issue, Russian interference in the election, what communications he had. How deep do you think they will go into the Russia issue?
In terms of Russia, I mean, I think the most we're probably going to get is, you know, kind of a recap of any meetings he had with Russian officials. Of course, the Attorney General had talked about and acknowledged that he did have two meetings with the Russian ambassador. That was after reporting had come out noting those meetings. There still has been a lot of speculation about whether there is a third meeting or not with the Russian ambassador. There had been some interaction at an event at the Mayflower Hotel in 2016. And folks have really been kind of, you know, all over the place in terms of whether there was more than just, you know, maybe kind of a meet and greet or whether there was any kind of in-depth conversation. You know, the Attorney General has said and stuck by the stance that he did not have, you know, any formal meeting with him at that point in time, you know, that they were at the same event and that was it. But there still continues to be a lot of speculation about that or, you know, possibly any additional meetings. So there's definitely going to be a lot of questions about that. In terms of the Russia probe itself, of course, the Attorney General had recused himself from that. So I don't think he's going to get into that at all. Obviously, Special Counsel Bob Mueller has taken that over. So I think that, you know, even if there are questions that come up about that, I just don't think the Attorney General is going to be able to answer them because he won't have been part of the briefings on those things.
You know, kind of related to that, but not directly, there was reports that the president was frustrated with the Attorney General that he recused himself from that investigation. What's been the scuttlebutt that you've picked up on that? Is there some frustration or concern that maybe he prematurely recused himself?
I mean, I could see that you know, from the White House, that obviously they've indicated they were a little frustrated. I mean, there was some reporting previously that perhaps they had looked at, as they're trying to pick a new FBI director, that they had looked at possibly having Bob Mueller in that role. So obviously him being pulled out of the mix there and put in as the special counsel kind of took that option away from them there. So I think that, you know, with the announcement of appointment of Bob Mueller was something that did not appear to be done much notice to the White House. So it was definitely something that caught them, you know, the public was finding out shortly after they were. So I think there's been maybe in terms of the White House wanting to know a little bit more, get a little more heads up on different things, I think there's probably been some frustration there in terms of the Justice Department kind of keeping them off to the side on some of those developments more recently.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, we're going to be watching tomorrow's hearing with great interest. Andrea, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate you taking time to talk with us.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Andrea Noble with the Washington Times. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right. Barack Obama is gone, but his liberal policies and priorities still linger. Today, there was an LGBT celebration at the Pentagon. And citizens are rightly concerned about the lingering gay agenda from the Obama administration. Elaine Donnelly, president of the Center for Military Readiness, is up next to discuss it. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Mm-hmm. making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, a fair amount of economic news coming out this week, some pretty interesting news. One, of course, is the NFIB Small Business Index. That's a number that we watch very closely, and we'll continue to do that. But tomorrow's number, I think, is going to be pretty important because we've seen some bad housing numbers, some low productivity numbers. So it'll be interesting to see what the index is. The index of confidence for small business was down last look, still well above the last 10 years at 104.5, but we'll wait and see how that looks, and that will be out tomorrow morning. Producer prices coming out. Then on Wednesday, we get consumer prices, retail sales numbers come out. The important number is retail sales ex autos, but I don't think auto sales have been that dramatic either, but retail sales numbers will come out on Wednesday. And of course, Wednesday, the FOMC statement comes out. Janet Yellen will be talking about interest rates. So we'll find out on Wednesday, 2:30, whether interest rates are going to go from 0.75 to 1%. I suspect they will. If they don't, expect to see the markets dip. Well, I thought they went up when the interest rate went up. No, not this time. They will likely see a lack of confidence about the underlying fundamentals of the economy in Janet Yellen's statement if she does not raise, and markets will likely go down. Philadelphia Fed manufacturing numbers. Industrial production is coming out on Thursday. Very important number. Home Builders Index, housing starts, building permits, and consumer sentiment numbers coming out Friday.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, earlier today, there was an LGBT Pride event sponsored by the Department of Defense Pride in the Pentagon Center courtyard. As you can imagine, many conservatives are disappointed that the Trump administration is allowing President Obama's sexual revolution to continue. There are a number of incidents that have occurred. We've seen the rainbow flag flying next to Old Glory on embassies around the globe. And, so some of this is it holdovers from the previous administration? Is it sympathetic individuals that remain? Or are these individuals that are in the Trump administration? Well, joining me now is Elaine Donnelly. She's the president for the Center for Military Readiness. Elaine, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. Always good to talk with you.
So, Elaine, what's behind this? Is this just simply lingering effects of Obama's radical social policy, or are there sympathizers in the Trump administration?
Well, I don't think the latter is the case, but I'm beginning to wonder why it is that Obama and Ashton Carter policies are apparently running the Pentagon. It seems very peculiar when the Secretary of Defense in his confirmation hearings, General Mattis, known as Mad Dog Mattis, he promised that if someone came to him with problems, that he would consider reviewing the social policies of the Obama-Ashton-Carter administration. Well, it's been reported in recent days that both the Army and the Marine Corps have raised red flags about the transgender policy put in place by Barack Obama and especially by Ashton Carter, who said he did it on his own. First, let's talk about this policy. The Department of Defense, people in the military, are being asked to accommodate persons who suffer from a psychological condition called gender dysphoria. It means confusion about one's sexual identity. The treatment, in the eyes of those who are pushing for the transgender policies, involves either hormone treatments or surgeries in an attempt to change the gender of the person who claims to be of the opposite sex. Now, medical doctors and nurses are going to be expected to approve, participate in, or perform the kinds of treatments and even surgeries that many consider contrary to their deeply held values, their convictions, their religious convictions, and certainly medical ethics. You don't operate on healthy organs. It's just against all medical ethical principles. And yet, this is the mandate, and there are no exceptions allowed, that was imposed on the military people by the Obama administration. We also know that women, and I've read all of the directives and guidebooks and handbooks, how do you implement this? They even have scenarios, some of them a little ridiculous, what do you do when a male soldier, Marty, says he's pregnant, things like that. But it says that if women are uncomfortable with persons of the opposite sex being in their private facilities, well, they have to get used to it. This has been a huge controversy, as you know, and FRC supporters all around the country have been fighting these battles in schools all across the nation. But in the military, it's even worse, because if you serve in the military and you use the Department of Defense schools, the largest school system in the world, if the mandate is there, then, well, the school doesn't have any choice. People at even the service academies would be affected. Everyone who serves in the military, where privacy is certainly at a premium as it is, they have to go along with these mandates. So it's like a mass delusion. You cannot change DNA. Human DNA determines whether you are a man or a woman. Gender is not assigned at birth. That's the word you see all through the Department of Defense documents. It's not assigned at birth. It is identified at birth. And yet, everyone in the military is supposed to buy in and implement the delusion that is the transgender mandate that has been put on our military. What is the Trump administration going to do about this? So far, they've given a big victory to the LGBT crowd. They had their celebration today. That's just the beginning. It's not just symbolic. This is a lobbying campaign. And every year, by the end of the month, they expect another prize, a party prize for LGBT Pride Month. That's where we're headed, unless people start to protest and rise up and get aggressive about it, because we have to push back.
Now, there's another aspect to this, Elaine, beyond the, and I understand the discomfort. I've been in the, you know, the Marine Corps. I know the close quarters that you serve in, and so I certainly get the discomfort aspect, the all of that. But there's a cost factor here. We have a military in which, for instance, in the Marine Corps, aviators, they're having to pull parts off of planes out of museums in order to keep some of the planes flying. The Air Force not able to put their planes in the air. And yet we're talking about medical procedures that are very costly. And yeah, not only that, these individuals are then out of commission. They cannot be put into certain positions. They're held, and they, even though they hold a spot in the military, essentially they can't be used.
That's right. They are not deployable during these lengthy treatments. And we're talking about lifetime hormone treatments, okay? This is not an inexpensive proposition. And the newest thing that the LGBT faction wants is to extend the option of being in the military to new recruits who are transgender. Now, after only 18 months, that's not a long time. This becomes a magnet to bring into the military people who want to have access to the military health system. This is what it's really all about, the bottom line. And according to one Associated Press report, a very credible one, the goal is to extend these treatments and surgeries to dependents, including minor children.
Wow, incredible.
Now, even, even Camille Paglia says this is crazy.
Elaine, we're up against a break. We're going to have to leave it there. We'll continue to track this. Hopefully, the Pentagon will respond to the Marine Corps and to the Army and their request. Elaine, thanks so much for joining us. All right, folks, don't go away. We're back right after this.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at RyanSecretAgent.com.
Join Frank Turek, Richard Land, Norman Geisler, Greg Kokel, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Early bird pricing ends August 1st. Visit ses.edu for details.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at RyanSecretAgent.com.
This is Washington Watch. Glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon. Okay, I want to go back. I mean, look, I don't want to be seen as beating a dead horse, but this is anything but dead, and it's dangerous, okay? These comments, this line of questioning by Bernie Sanders is extremely, extremely dangerous, okay? Here's what I want to open up. I'm going to open up the phone lines, all right? I want to know what you think about this outburst by Bernie Sanders and what this reveals about the left in this country. I mean, increasingly, they've become hostile toward Christianity. You know, not beyond indifference. It's outright hostility. So what do you think? Think it's a big deal? Think it's not a big deal? I've given you my opinion, and I'll continue to give you my opinion based upon my vantage point, but I want to know what you think and what you think should be done. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, or you can send me a message on Twitter at T. Perkins. I'll read those as well. If you can't get through on the phone lines, tweet me. All right, send me a message. All right. And let me just recap why I think this is dangerous and why I think it's not just about Bernie Sanders and some, you know, grumpy old man who looks like he should be on the Muppets. I mean, this is a guy who is, as was pointed out earlier, was almost the Democratic nominee for president. But it's what he represents in that he felt that he could, without any type of concern or that there would be backlash or that there was any danger in attacking Russ Vought's orthodox Christian view of salvation. That, look, salvation, as Jesus says, not what we said, is what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And in John chapter 3, verse 16, one that we all know, but if you read verse 18, where it says that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world because the world was already condemned. And those who reject him do so because they love darkness. And so that's the truth of the word, that either you believe it or you don't. If you don't believe it, you really aren't a Christian. If you don't believe the word of God, how can you claim to be a Christian? If you don't believe the words of Jesus, and Jesus made an exclusionary statement, it wasn't, I am a way, I am a possibility among multiple possibilities. He didn't say that. And so if you're truly a follower of Jesus, you have to believe what the one you're following said. And so what Bernie Sanders is saying is anybody who holds these views that to believe what Jesus said is therefore not suited for public service. And that's dangerous, folks. Extremely dangerous on a number of levels. Do you really want people without a moral compass holding positions of trust in our country? And this goes beyond, the federal government and the Office of Management and Budget. This goes to, as we've seen across the country, police officers, firemen, teachers, you name it, anywhere in the public realm. There are those who want to employ this religious test, reverse religious test, that Bernie Sanders made very, very clear in this hearing. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Oklahoma, where Dave is on the line. Dave, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon. I do appreciate what you do. And there's a lot of other people out there that do also.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But as per Bernie Sanders, basically, this could be scriptural because it says that in the end times, stuff like this will happen. If you read your scriptures, especially in Revelations, in the seven churches, it goes on to say that you have Philadelphia, which is what we're supposed to be like, but you have Laodicea, which is Jesus says is neither, or is, the Lord says is neither hot nor cold, and he would rather spew that out of his mouth. We have to take a stand. Nobody else will do it. We have to put our big boy pants on, or big girl pants, whatever, and stand up and say no.
I wholeheartedly agree. This is, a lot of these things that kind of these people on the fringes of the left say, I don't even respond to. I don't even bring them to your attention. There's so many different pieces of legislation that are introduced that are wacky, crazy, a threat. A potential threat to our freedom, to religious freedom. But I don't bring them up because they're not legitimate. I mean, there's just one wacko out there putting something in, and it's not going anywhere. Look, this, as I pointed out, this was almost the Democratic Party's nominee. Now, you'll recall the Democratic Party 4 years ago voted God out of their platform, and they have taken a very hostile view of Orthodox religious beliefs. And so, yes, I do not believe, Dave, that we can just ignore this and it'll go away. This is increasing. And I think we have to say, no. Just as Paul did as a Roman citizen, he said, this how you treat Roman citizens? I have my rights as a Roman citizen. We have our rights as American citizens to not be discriminated against based upon our religious beliefs and convictions. And we need to stand up for those and stand up for those who— maybe they're not affecting you. Maybe it's not. I would argue it is, but maybe you're not directly affected by it. But we need to defend men and women like Russell Vought, who is being attacked for his views. And one way to do that is to sign the petition at TonyPerkins.com. Dave, thanks so much for calling in. Great to hear from you. Let's go to South Carolina, where Pete is on the line. Pete, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. In regards to your question, we need to take these comments by Bernie Sanders very seriously as what they are, is a threat to our religious liberty and to our very existence as a free country. And it's very revealing, isn't it, how, you know, this is the mindset of these people. And they have no mercy with us. They are not going to be nice. If when they are, when they get in power, if they do, they are not going to treat us nicely. And I just want to make one more comment, and please just tell me your thoughts. But this kind of comments from a U.S. senator, the fact that this guy's even a senator, and the fact that you say he was almost a Democratic nominee, if really he hadn't stolen the nomination because of the superdelegates, he would have been the nominee.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that there's so many young people that look up to this guy, this is the result of a long process that began years ago in the government school system. Maybe civil mm-hmm. services. So this will begin, and so we need to direct our efforts at parents. Be oversight in your what goes on in your local schools. Be, you know, get to school board meetings. Look at, read the, what the textbooks say. Ask your kids about. You know, we need to have parent monitors in the classrooms. Is what we need.
Yeah, and parents need to take the initiative to teach their children and show their children things. Also, our pastors need to speak to these issues. This issue is a direct threat to what happens in churches every Sunday. Because what is the purpose of preaching? The purpose of preaching and teaching the Word of God is to affect the lives of those who listen, those who hear. The work of the ministry, of being a pastor, is to equip the saints, that's the people in the pews that are saved, for the work of the ministry. That is to go out and live out the gospel. And what Russell Vaught was attempting to do is, as a finance guy, is simply, you know, I mean, live out his faith, you know, being true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, he's not the one that brought this up. He wasn't preaching on the, you know, in the Senate committee. Bernie Sanders went after him because of something he wrote in a different forum. Now, in fact, yesterday I brought this up in the Sunday morning service, and then took basically the entire Sunday night service and spoke about this. And if you want to see what I said yesterday morning, you can catch it on Facebook at Greenville Springs Baptist Church, because I think it's that important, and I think pastors need to address these things because this is a real-life application of the Word of God in terms of how we respond. Now, do we respond with anger? No. But we respond just as the, in fact, it was interesting, as our church is doing collective reading through Acts this month. We just happened to be on chapters 4 and 5 where the disciples were told not to speak in the name of Jesus. And how they respond? Well, they were very clear. They were to obey God rather than man. And we need to speak out on behalf of those who are taking these stands. Again, respectfully, speaking the truth in love, but we need to speak out that truth. I think the church, part of the reason that people like Bernie Sanders feel that they can push the envelope so much like this is because the church has been silent and we've retreated into the shadows of society when we should have said, hey, wait a minute, buddy. You've gone too far. And that's what we want to do with this petition. So sign it by going to tonyperkins.com. Okay. Thanks, Pete, for the call. Appreciate you listening. Let's go to Kansas, where Stephen is on the line. Stephen, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's so nice to talk with you.
Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, first of all, Bernie Sanders said it's the most classically bigoted thing. I mean, you can take anybody's religion and grill somebody, set up some straw man and say, do you really believe this? And you can ridicule anybody's religion. And if you're not going to let them make a statement of faith to make it reasonable, it's just
thing. Well, and especially, it's a great point, Stephen, especially when most people, unfortunately today, even people in the churches don't completely understand true theology and biblical and doctrine of the Christian church. And so taken out of context to a society that is in large part biblically, I don't want to say illiterate, but certainly not well-versed. Yes, that may sound strange, but you're right. You can take almost anything out of any religion and make it look bad.
Well, the reason I called is because you said, what do we do about it? Brother Tony, I tell you, I know what we've got to do about it. We have got to get a true reading of the First Amendment. We have, on the right, and worse on the left, have bought into a false reading of the First Amendment. Separation of church and state is impossible. It is a myth. It cannot be achieved. Government, at some level, will always have to rely on somebody's unproven set of moral assumptions. What's happened since 1947 is the Supreme Court has imposed secular humanism at the national level. But secular humanism is just as much a belief system as any religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without question. You are right. It has become the official religion. You know, separation of church and state. Actually, Jesus was an advocate of separation of church and state. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. That was a separation. He acknowledged that there was a separation. However, does not mean that Caesar is out from under the authority of God, not the church, but of God. All things are under the authority of God. Everyone will give an account to God. William Wilberforce, the abolitionist, the English statesman, said, you know, as he came to know Christ and held a public trust, an office, he said, you know, I realize that every vote I cast, I'm going to have to give an account to God. Now, that's not just for believers. Everyone is going to give an account. And so government is under the authority of God, but not under the authority of the church. And it is good to have separation of church and state, but you're right. What's happened is that it's not the church that's breaching that so-called wall of separation. By the way, that's not a constitutional principle. That is from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote. But the government has increasingly gotten into the business of the church. They've taken moral and spiritual issues, and they've turned them into political issues, and then they've told churches and pastors and others to stay out. I mean, consider life, the abortion issue. Nothing is more fundamental than life. I mean, go back to the beginning of Genesis when God created man and woman. Life is inherently a spiritual issue. And the church needs to and must speak about that. Same thing with marriage. So it's the government that is wanting to meddle in the business of the church. And now when the church pushbacks and Christians speak out, they want to marginalize and silence the churches. We can't go there, folks. We have to speak up. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, sign the petition, calling on Bernie Sanders to apologize for his religious bigotry. And it sends a message to the other senators, don't go where Bernie went. All right, out of time. Thanks so much. Sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls. I appreciate all your calling in. Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow, and I hope you will as well. Until then, you can email me, tony@tonyperkins.com. And remember, the Apostle Paul said, when you've done everything you could do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.